Blog Talk Radio.
Clap your hands for Angela.
Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest tonight is Brian Jaubert. Did I pronounce your name right?
Jaubert.
Brian Jaubert. Okay. Brian is the CEO of L&B Tax Service in Georgia. Today's show is, of course, about taxes and the Affordable Care Act. Yes, we will be discussing IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, a little too. All right. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon. Good evening. How are you?
I'm okay. Now, you're a professional tax. You file taxes professionally, right? Okay.
Yes,
name
I
of
do.
your business, L&B Tax Service.
Yes, it is, and we're located in Mapleton, Georgia, but also we have locations around the country as well.
Okay, that is great. And you're the CEO of L&B Tax Services.
Yes, Pam. So I am the B of L&B, which we have L, which is my wife, Lori. And so that's where we get L&B from.
Okay, that's great. That's great. One of my first questions would be, why should people consider taxable income in their retirement planning?
Well, you basically, you want to consider taxable income because it's going to actually give you the leeway to be able to qualify for different retirement plans, different things that you're doing. And even before you get into retirement with the taxable income is what allows people to go out and purchase things as far as homes, cars, things that they're looking to get, you know, for the long term. And then you want to utilize that same taxable income to be able to get into retirement planning as far as getting, you know, your different single-member 401k plans and your SEP plans and your IRAs. So without that taxable income, you won't qualify for those things. So it's very important that you do have that taxable income.
Okay. Do people who have income under $25,000 pay more taxes than a person with a $500,000 income? Because I remember there was something in the President Baraka term where it was found out that a gentleman's secretary is paying more in taxes than him, and he's a millionaire. Do you feel that is fair, and is it true that people who earn $25,000 a year pay more taxes than somebody earning $500,000 a year?
Well, I think that it's a little bit misleading. I don't think it's fair in the sense that, no, if you make that kind of money, you should basically pay your proportion in taxes. Somebody that makes $25,000, you know, realistically, when you're paying taxes, out of that $25,000, you're probably bringing home anywhere from $12,000 to $15,000 at the end of the year, which nobody can really live off that, especially if they have kids or dependents that they're taking care of. So it's definitely not fair. Now, you know, what you find is that people with $500,000, $250,000 above in income, they actually know a little bit more about the loopholes in taxes. They utilize all their tax benefits and their tax breaks a lot better. So that's why they get to make as much money as they do, and in some instances pay less taxes than somebody that don't make as much money because they know how to work the system. So it's not fair in the sense that some of it is basically, you know, government-based and there's loopholes that you can't get, but the other part of it is that we just don't educate ourselves on some of those loopholes and some of those deductions that we can take advantage of.
Okay. How long do people have to keep their tax returns by law? By law, how long are they required?
By law, they tell you 3 to 5 years. Some instances, they may say 7, but everything that I've seen basically say no longer than 5. I typically tell my clients 3 years. I've never really seen, you know, nobody get audited past 3 years. Only time is if you're under some type of investigation, you know, by the IRS or by the government, they would want to go back further than that. But that very seldom happens. And one of the benefits of dealing with L&B Tax Service is that we very seldom have audits. So, you know, there's usually no need for a client to go back more than 3 years if they get questioned. So 3 years is probably the norm. 5 is not unusual, but I wouldn't worry about going back more than 5 or saving my returns more than 5 years.
Okay. Okay, will the 2014 tax season start later than normal this year? Or the 2013 season? Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes. And I know, like I said on my radio show, you know, I'm just the messenger, so y'all don't kill me because the tax season is starting later this year. You know, it's because of the shutdown, and the shutdown basically kind of threw everything out of whack. So not only did it affect people during that time frame, it's going to affect us long term. So now what they're doing is they're pushing the tax season back about 2 weeks. So you'll be looking at now being able to file your taxes anywhere from January 28th to maybe February 4th, which is an inconvenience for a lot of people because, to be honest, by the 28th, most people are used to getting their tax refund by that time. So, you know, they won't like it, but they're somewhat used to it because we had the same thing last year. They actually filed a little bit last year late because the government had some issues. So I think people are now getting out of the habit of rushing to do it right away because they're starting to get accustomed to the government having issues every year.
Okay. All right, so the tax season will start later. Okay. How has the government shutdown affected taxes, not just in them starting late, but with taxes in general across the United States of America?
Well, one thing it did was this year we probably had more people file extensions than ever before in history. And this was a report that the government pulled out, and they just said that probably twice as many people filed extensions this year as opposed to years past. And I know it's true because we probably, as a company, we filed more extensions for clients this year than we normally do. And the reason why the shutdown affected people is because when those people filed late and they came, you know, maybe in the last few weeks filing their taxes, the government closed everything down. So that means your return didn't get processed because the government was shut down. Your return, when it don't get processed, that means if you're getting a refund back, that means you cannot get your refund. So that held up people's refund. So even people that got refunds later in the year that normally goes much quicker because it's not a lot of people filing taxes, they had to wait. And so the shutdown really affected everybody in that sense. It affected us because we didn't know if somebody's return went through, it got accepted, it had any errors or rejects or anything. It affected people who was getting their refund because they had to wait. They didn't know the status of their stuff, if it was getting processed. And people who actually had fines for filing late didn't know what their fines were, didn't know what they had to pay because the shutdown affected everybody across the board.
Okay. So is the government doing something besides extending tax season? I mean, if somebody owes money and they send in a payment while IRS was shut down, Internal Revenue Services, are they going to be penalized for that?
No, but the funny thing is that not during the time of the shutdown, if you still sent your stuff off timely, they won't penalize you. But the crazy thing about it was they was not processing tax returns. They was not sending people their refund checks. But I did get some calls from some people that they got tax bills. So for some people that owe, so somehow they found a way to send people bills out saying they owe taxes. I don't know how they did that, but they found a way to get their money, but they didn't want to get nobody else their money. So we definitely not playing with a fair government. So I don't know, they just had some extra help that came in to make sure that they send bills out and not send payments. So, yeah, the government actually, they don't work in your best behalf. Believe that.
Okay. Now, is it better for a person to pay taxes on each paycheck or opt to keep all of their income to at the end of the year?
Now, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, one thing about it is that's a personal choice. You know, because some people, you have some people who get their money throughout the year that love to live. Now, I'm a big fan of that. I always tell people, I'd rather see you live 52 weeks out of the year instead of struggle for the whole year trying to get a big refund. You know, so my thing is get your money. Get your money during the year. Have better quality of life. Have comfort, you know, from 52 weeks of the year. And then at the end of the year, if you can break even or get a small refund or owe just a little. You know, that's what I think is the best way. I see more and more people starting to do that because people need their money now because of the economy and the way things are. People are starting to get their money now throughout the year and not have as much taxes taken out because they're not worrying about the big refund. But then you have those people that just love their big refund. You know, because in this day and time, nobody's getting lump sums of payment no more. Jobs are not paying bonuses. You're not getting those big old paychecks like you used to. So the only lump sum of money you're getting is from your taxes. And some people just love those lump sums. So they take that money, they use it for travel or vacation, or they pay off a lot of bills or whatever they do. You know, I'm not opposed to that if that's your personal choice. But I would rather you, if you had to struggle throughout the year, not worry about that big refund and get your money during the year. You know, and so because at the end of the year, it all balances out because if you get no big refund at the end of the year but you struggled all year, all you're doing is taking that same money and probably catching up paying bills and paying, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, you know. And so you know, it's the same situation. So be comfortable throughout the year. Now, if you're in a good position and you have money and you don't need your money as much throughout the year, then, you know, it's your choice. But always check with your tax advisor to find out what may be best for you.
Okay. All right. One of my next questions would be, and I know you're a tax professional, so I got an idea how you're going to answer this. But if people decide to do their own taxes instead of hiring a professional tax service, like yourself.
No.
And this is only your opinion, of course. I'm just asking for your opinion. Do they have more mistakes on their tax returns? And if they do have a person like you, a tax professional like L&B Tax Services, do the taxes, are they covered by something under the law that protects them if they have errors on their tax return, if you do it? That makes any sense?
If we do it, basically, it's, I can't say there's nothing specifically covered by law if we do it and there's a mistake. You know, what we do is just hope that you get somebody that's reputable that will defend you in a occurrence of a mistake. You know, and the one thing we do is if we do make a mistake, and we do make mistakes from time to time, but if you talk to our clients, our track record is excellent. Because
I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about in general, like if there's a mistake on the taxes. I mean, do you just go back and correct it yourself, or does that person have to correct it?
Oh, no. If we make a mistake, then, yeah, we're going to go back and amend the return, and what it's called is amended return. And you have three years to amend your return. So if there's a mistake on your return, you get 3 years. So if you have if you're getting more money back, when you make that change on there, if there's a mistake that allows you to get more money back, you actually have 3 years to collect that money. But if it's a mistake that's going to cost you more money, the IRS can get that money for as long as it takes them. So if 3 years pass, 5 years pass, and they decide to come back or they catch the mistake, they can still collect the money, you know, 5, 10 years down the line.
Oh, I know recently there have been a lot of celebrities in the news. Miss Lauryn Hill is one of them, the singer, and another gentleman, Wesley Snipes. They, from what I understand, they were saying that their accountants are the reason. Well, one of them was saying, from what I read in the magazine, that it was the accountant's fault. And I'm trying to figure out, why did these people go to prison? I mean, didn't they have people like you helping them? I mean, is that the accountant job and not the tax preparer?
Well, no. The thing is that it's like any industry. I don't care what you do, any industry, there's going to be shady people in there. There's going to be people that's not in your best interest. There's going to be people that's not basically as good as they say they are. So they could have had somebody doing that, and that person could have been telling them that they were sending that money to the IRS and probably wasn't sending the money to the IRS. They could have been stealing the money. They could have been giving them bad advice. They could have been doing so many things basically to be non-effective to what they were trying to do financially. So, you know, it's hard to say why they did. What happens is you get a lot of celebrities and a lot of athletes, and why you see them get in trouble because of taxes is because they make so much money at one time, they get hit with big tax liabilities. And a lot of times when somebody tells you you have to pay, you know, $700,000, $1 million in taxes, that's a lot of money at one time. So a lot of times they don't want to pay that. They don't want to pay that out, so they try to find ways to get around it, or they just don't pay it. And believe it or not, in most cases, they don't have it to pay.
Okay.
Because, you know, I see it with actors, I see it with entertainers, I see it with athletes. You know, it's more fame than fortune.
Okay.
You know, it's way more fame than fortune because when they make this, if they make $5 million, you know, keep in mind, they don't get paid $5 million because they got to pay so many different people out of that money. But the thing is that you still have to pay taxes on $5 million. So even though after you pay everybody out, everybody takes their percentages, you may get $2.5 million, but you're getting taxed on $5
million. Oh, okay. And I understand that.
So after you pay everybody out and you have your living costs, then you don't think about taxes. So when the end of the year comes and then they send you a bill based on the $5 million you received and you only had $2.5 million, which you use that on all your personal stuff throughout the year when you live, then you don't have the money to pay for that. And that's where a lot of them get caught up at.
Okay, so they can't, like, write that off or something paying people when they pay people because they're not actually seeing the income is what I'm saying. So there's not a law that says that you don't have to pay taxes if you're paying employees?
It depends on a certain situation, but that's a good observation. Yes, on some situations you do. You know, you do have to pay some of those fees. I mean, you can write those people off as contractors, as independent contractors. But, you know, I'm not going to get into it too much of what happens because those people that work in those camps, a lot of times are off record. You know, a lot of times are off record, which, once again, because if you don't have knowledge of how taxes work, you don't understand how that can be a tax break for you. So you pay different people, but you don't 1099 them at the end of the year. If they're an employee, you don't always W-2 them. So a lot of that is money under the table or is cash money or is different things that go on that you don't think about come tax time. So there's no paper trail. There's no records of it. You know, and that's where a lot of people get in trouble because they don't 1099 these people. They don't have paper trails.
Okay. All right. What are some tax reduction strategies that could benefit people more? I know that if you're in a business of your own, saving your gas receipts, you know, when you travel for business is one of them. But what are some other tax reduction strategies? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Sorry. Yes.
Okay, I was saying,
if one of the things you want to consider, you want to consider your itemized deductions. And what itemized deductions are, the government have what they call standard deduction, and they have itemized deductions. Now, they give you a certain amount of money as a write-off on your standard deduction based on your filing status, meaning if you're single, if you're head of household, if you're married joint, you get a certain amount of money that the government gives you. So with that, you don't have a lot of flexibility. But some of the things you can do with that is if you got student loan interest, make sure that you maximize all your student loan interest to reduce your taxes. If you went back to school, make sure that you keep track of everything you spent on tuition, on all your books and everything, because that could actually lower your tax liability as a person that has a standard deduction. Now, they have what they call itemized deductions, and typically your individuals who itemize are your homeowners. And
okay,
that has to come above whatever the government gives you for the standard deduction. So if I'm single, I get $5,950. I get $5,950 as a deduction from the government. But if I itemize, if my itemized deductions come above $5,950, then it makes sense for me to itemize. And now itemized deductions will be things such as your mortgage interest from your home, your real estate taxes, your charitable donation, your church tithe, your car tax, you know, all of those things you definitely want to keep up with. So whatever you donate to charity, make sure that you get some type of receipt. Make sure if you basically tithe, don't tithe cash. You know, tithe something that you can track, be it a check, you know, even if it's a money order, you know, something that you can have a receipt for, you know, because
okay,
those things can be very beneficial to you as write-offs to reduce your tax liability. And from a business side, you know, you definitely want to write off everything that is business-related, from your cell phone to your mileage, your gas. You know, you can do either gas or mileage. You can't do them both. But I always say, always track both of them, and then at the end of the year, we kind of weigh out and see which one works better for you. You know,
okay,
another thing, basically, if you don't have a business, get one, which is the craziest thing for me when I hear people basically don't want to get a business. It's the best loophole that you can have, a legal loophole.
Okay.
I'm listening to an audio book right now, and this guy is talking about, you know, the benefits of having a home office and, you know, creating your own business and how beautiful it is for a tax break. I'm actually working on my next book. My
next book
basically is, you know, I haven't come out with the title, but the essence of it is you have to have a home-based business.
Okay.
You know,
and
so because we're giving the government too much our money.
Okay, yeah, I believe that too. Okay, we're going to go to break. Listen, we have L&B, the CEO of L&B Tax Services on Show Talk with Angela Butler. His name is Brian. Say your name again. I'm sorry about this.
Jubert.
Brian Jaubert? Jubert?
Jubert. Yeah. And
Mr. Brian,
say, you know,
Jubert.
The more French pronunciation is Jaubert, so if that's easier, I'll take that tonight.
Okay. All right, listeners, we're going to go to break, and then I gotta pay some bills, and then we're gonna come back and listen to Mr. Bryant Jubert.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
Exquisite Express Incorporated specializes in designing signature solutions to help attract more business. Their creative designs through their associate company, Exquisite Designs, give everyday people insight on the latest fashion, food specialties, technology gadgets, and entertainment. Exquisite Designs also provides barista services through Exquisite Barista. You can read all about what they are doing in their digital and print magazine, Exquisite Fusion. Feel free to give us a call, 1-855-379-2540, 1-855-379-2540.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The CEO of L&B Tax Services is here, Mr. Brian Joubert. He's here talking about taxes, among other things. I see I have some callers. I don't know if you have any questions or not. Are you just calling in to listen? But I'm getting ready to go to the microphones, and if you don't have any questions, just simply don't say anything.
Hey, Mr. Joubert, my question is, with the introduction of Obamacare, do you foresee a raise in individual taxes within the next 2 years?
I can't say that I foresee a raise. I think a lot of things are still kind of unclear when it comes to taxes and Obamacare. I don't think they quite figured everything out because there's still some seminars and some webinars that we're looking at, and I don't think they really have the total answer from a tax standpoint yet. But I don't see in the next couple of years that it's going to happen. But down the line, it's just hard to say with them raising taxes, lowering taxes. You know, that's something right now I think is just too new for me to really indulge in.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, caller. All right. I'm going to some other callers. Hello, caller. Do you have something you want to discuss with Mr. Joubert? Hello, caller. Okay, I guess you just called in to listen. That's fine, too. Okay. All right. Let's see. What would be considered tax fraud under the law? Explain tax fraud.
Well, you actually have tax fraud basically in a sense that where you are lying on your tax return, and that can be for your personal, you know, your people who file personal returns when you overstate a lie or just in some instances just make up deductions for how much you gave to donations, how much you gave to charity, you know, how much you gave to tithes, making up expenses such as unreimbursed expenses, things you pay for off your job. So all of those things, when you try to deceive the government by making up deductions and getting over inflating numbers, that's considered tax fraud.
Okay. Now, the gentleman just asked you about the Affordable Care Act. How would the Affordable Care health insurance tax affect taxes? You had already answered some. You said you really don't know, but is that still your answer?
Well, it ain't changed too much in the last 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing about it is, like I say, it's still relatively new. What's going to happen is one thing you're seeing with people going to probably pay a little bit less in insurance in some cases. With them paying a little less in insurance, it's going to be less of a tax deduction that they're going to have.
The other unfortunate thing is that with the health care, you have dental, medical deductions are your primary medical deductions that you can write off. It used to be 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. So you had to have to pay out of pocket more than 7.5%. But what's happening now, that deduction is actually going up to 10%. So you have to pay 10% of your adjusted gross income out of pocket in order to qualify for a health, a medical, or dental expense. Now, with Obamacare, in a lot of cases, it's going to save people from paying, you know, a lot of money in health care. With them not paying as much in health care, their deductions won't be as big now. So you're going to find less people actually able to write off health care because Obamacare, for one, is going to help. And then also if you have businesses that's going to actually have to pay for some of these people that work for them, their employees, businesses will actually benefit from it because they will actually have a bigger write-off. But from a personal side, it's going to probably hurt people.
Okay, on a personal side, that's your – okay, all right. Do businesses receive a – you already answered that. You already said that businesses would receive a tax credit. What is the main difference in a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA? I know this is a little bit maybe a little bit out of your expertise, but could you please answer?
Yeah. Actually, you have the two, which a lot of people get confused. And like I said, I'm not a financial planner. That's more of a financial planner situation, Roth IRAs, retirement plans. But the difference is with a traditional IRA, well, both of them, let me start here. Both of them, you actually have to be 59 and a half is the age that is the criteria age on both of them. And the reason why 59 and a half is important, because on a traditional IRA, if you pull any money out of your traditional IRA before the age of 59 and a half, you will be taxed on that money and you will be penalized for what they call an early withdrawal. And that will be a penalty at 10%. Now, what people, you know, don't understand is that a lot of times when you pull the money out, when the government actually bills you for it and send you a 1099-R, they actually take out 20% in federal taxes. That is not the same as the 10% penalty tax. So they take out, federal tax, they take out 20% in federal taxes, which is a good thing because it helps you in the long run, and then you get hit with the 10% penalty for the early withdrawal. Now, on the other hand, you have a Roth IRA. Now, with the Roth IRA, you still have the 59 and a half as the age limit, but after 5 years, if you pull the money out after 5 years, it's not taxed and it's not penalized. So one is basically, both of them are for long-term savings. Both of them are for long-term savings, but one actually, and the difference is, too, is with a traditional IRA, it's tax deductible. So whatever you contribute into it, you can write off on your taxes. With a Roth IRA, because you're able to pull it out after 5 years without penalty, then you cannot write it off on your taxes.
Okay. All right. What is the amount in 2014 that people may contribute to a Roth IRA? Can you answer that, please?
2014 is going to be $6,000.
Okay. All right, Dan.
And you actually have, so you don't have to do that by the end of the year. You don't have to do it by the end of the year. You can actually, you have up to the first quarter before April 15 to still contribute and still be able to write off, you know, money that you want to contribute into your IRA.
Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about something. The same-sex couple marriages. Now, with the taxes, their taxes, if it's made law that people who are of the same sex can marry and things like that, I'm not certain if it's already been made into a law or not. In the case where taxes are concerned, do you think their marriages should be recognized by law? for federal tax purposes?
Well, yeah, if they get married, yeah, if your state recognizes it, then I think from a federal side it should be as well, because if it's a legal and binding marriage, you should treat it the same as you would, you know, a man and wife, a husband and wife situation. So I think if the state is going to recognize it, the federal government should recognize it, you know, on your taxes, because if it's going to be legal in one instance, it should be legal in all instances.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, I'm going to go back to the callers, and I'm asking if they have any questions they want to ask you, and then we're going to kind of end the show.
All right.
Hello, caller. Do you have any questions for Mr. Joubert? Guess not. Okay. Hello, caller. Do you have any questions for Mr. Joubert? All right, guess not. Okay. Well, that just about concludes the show. Mr. Brian Joubert of L&B Tax Service, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I hope my listeners learned something, some valuable information for a tax expert. If you like, you can give your business name and that again, and how people within Georgia could get in touch with you. Because that is where your business is at, right? The main one is in Georgia, right?
Well,
I know you said across the country.
Yeah, and I'll give them all that in the short term. But basically, our corporate office is in the Mableton, Georgia area. A lot of people know us from being around the city, but what we did was we condensed all our offices in Stone Mountain, Atlanta, and College Park into our corporate office in Mableton. So we do have the one centralized location now in the Atlanta area. And you can find us on the web at www.lbtaxservice.com. And you can also give us a call at 678-213-1141. That's 678-213-1141. And our other locations are in Nashville, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., New Orleans, Louisiana, and Houston, Texas. So definitely visit us on the web. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have, take care of any concerns that you need, you know, and that's what we do. And we've been doing it for 16 years now. So, you know, once again, thank you for the opportunity to give the information to your listeners, and we definitely look forward to doing some things with you in the future.
All right. Thank you, Brian Joubert, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. And I just like to say, listeners, stay blessed. And though as you all can tell, the weather is changing. Also, I like this drop I just did was by Raquel Charles. She's a young lady from the Georgia area that has a CD out. She's acting. She's doing videos. So that was Raquel you heard. You have a good night, Brian Joubert.
All right. Thank you, and you do the same.
Yes, sir, you do. Stay blessed.
This is Raquel Charles reminding you to listen to Show Talk with Angela Butler to catch the hottest interviews.
Great night.